Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Today is the 24th day of March 2020. This time last week, I had the uncomfortable position of being the first person in the chair when the announcement was made that our first two patients that contracted this COVID-19 illness were identified. A week on, we are at a situation where we have what I understand is 17. Barbados is still what we call stage two. We're asking people, of course, to be prepared, be careful, limit interaction to an absolute minimum. I'm not thoroughly convinced that the vast majority of Barbadians get it, but we have made some progress. And sadly, this week on, it is not a situation of progress that I can be reporting on, but a situation where we seem to have been, things have gotten worse, quite frankly. Airport hasn't closed. However, there's been a significant reduction in traffic to the point where there's nothing coming. We had a bit of a forecast yesterday with some persons coming in from London en route to Trinidad and Tobago. Somewhat embarrassing, in my opinion, for the Trinidad and Tobago government, but I guess that will be their matter to deal with how we can. We are doing our part as a CARICOM partner and also as responsible citizens in terms of facilitating those individuals. But more on that later. This morning's program is hosted by myself, of course, Mr. The producer this morning is not Dennis Johnson. He's not with us today. So we have Mr. John Stout in the chair. He would be the person that answers the telephone and speaks to you as the morning progresses. We're here until 2, so we have an entire program from 10 until 2. You can call me on 434-1790. You can also reach me via the chat, 266-IVOB. You can also speak to me via Facebook if you feel so inclined, or you can email me at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. So what's on my mind this morning? And I noticed I received a considerable amount of criticism for my quote-unquote behavior last week. I had two encounters, one with Mr. Dennis Kelman that ended prematurely, and then another one with Mr. Paul Gibson, which also ended prematurely. Both conversations were terminated at my own insistence. My problem is that I have a bit of a challenge regarding patience with persons who want to use this exercise as an opportunity to score political points. And in both instances, I found the individuals were not being helpful in terms of advancing the conversation that we were having. In Paul's case, he said he had information that was important for persons who were on medication, and I encouraged him several times to make the statement, and he kept going back to a political point that he wanted to score. I ended the conversation, and I was criticized for it. Look, I'm not perfect, and there are times when I could make mistakes in terms of judgment. When I'm sitting here, I'm all alone. I make a judgment. I made a judgment in both of those instances that I felt that the conversations were not really getting to where we needed to get to at that stage, and for that I make no apologies. If people feel that I made an improper judgment, then so be it. I would have to stand corrected at some point in time in the future, but certainly if the situation presents itself this week, I'll do the same thing all over again, because I do feel that political operatives have a responsibility to understand there's a time and place. Just like Mount Gay, there is a time and place. So my reflection this morning, over the past 2 days, I spent some time doing a bit of reading on this Spanish flu and trying to understand what are the synergies that can be created. Because often I find in life, it is important to try to understand the historic antecedents, and indeed to try to understand the extent to which history speaks to a situation that could replicate itself. And it would appear as though the Spanish flu pandemic was about 1918, just around the end of the First World War, would have been the most proximate example of what we are having now. And indeed, we could have had a situation like that were it not for, the situation currently could easily be the Spanish flu plus, which killed millions of people, simply because we have greater ease of access to each other's countries. And in that case, it was reliant on trains moving soldiers and different people to different places and ships and so on. It was a primitive form of internationalization that moved that slowly around the globe. In our case, it is so much easier to move. That's where the problems are created. So we have to understand that we have a slightly more sophisticated healthcare system, which was one of the problems that they had, but we also have a situation in which it's so much easier for people to move and spread viruses. So I thought that was interesting when you watch that, because it helps you to understand a lot about the spread of viruses, and indeed the fact that the type of lockdown that they were imposing in those days seemed to have done the trick regarding arresting the situation. And in certain places where the lockdown was more total, the arrest of the situation was more sudden. And I think that that is an important lesson that we need to learn. Lockdowns are uncomfortable. They're painful, and I have to admit, for my own part, I haven't really been coping well either. But, you know, we have to do what we have to do, and I think that we really do need to cooperate. It was unfortunate that Boris Johnson had to take the steps that he took yesterday, but it tells us a lot about human nature. Human beings, unfortunately, have to wait to be instructed to behave in a particular way before they begin to behave in a particular way. So you had events on the weekend, you had bars and clubs that were full, people moving around in crowded trains and so on, and all of that continuing to happen simply because people just don't get it. But now, unfortunately, they have been forced to get it by legal means. Across the seas in France, Macron has taken a slightly more, and in Italy, they have taken a slightly more deliberate position where you have to self-certify in order to leave home under pain of prosecution. To me, that is, again, an extreme step, but ultimately it is a position that they thought it would make a lot more sense to take that position and force people along those lines, because otherwise people will just say, and I got to go see a friend, I got to go and do something, I need to step out. So we need to take those kinds of positions. But the other thing that the Spanish flu episode taught me, and along with the plague which would have preceded it and the other pandemics that would have come after, is that this whole idea that is being advanced in some sections of the Christian community that this is essentially God's judgment and you know, these things will come to pass and it was written about in the Bible, it strikes me as a bit odd, because I'm saying, well, certainly they came to pass before and they're coming to pass now. So the question is, which is the time it will come to pass and it will be the end? And the argument that it was foretold is in a sense a bit silly, because the reality is that it could not possibly have been foretold, because was it foretold for the Spanish flu? Was it foretold for the plague? Was it foretold for any of the other examples of what we could call pestilence that have affected the earth? But that's, of course, a conversation for a different time and a different place. I think what we really need to do now is to use history as our guide in terms of understanding what behavior has to change. I appreciate very much inquiries that I have been receiving from many of you regarding my own family in France and also in Italy. Everybody is doing well, and we certainly appreciate your expressions of support. The situation in Italy is grim. My in-laws are all of advanced age, have been following judiciously the regulations suggesting that they should remain at home. The situation in France is similarly grim in the sense that you can't go outside unless you self-certify. But it is working, because infections are dropping, and it's significant that that seems to be working. The other thing that I think is interesting that I've been finding a lot about is this presumption that a person that manifests symptoms is a person that is more dangerous. And the reality is that a person who's manifesting symptoms is probably the easier person to deal with. The challenge, of course, is that many of the people who are problematic are the ones who, after 2 weeks of shutdown, are only now beginning to manifest symptoms. And we realize that those persons were infectious all along, and therein lies the problem. Identical to the Spanish flu issue, where persons were presenting well, and 12 hours later, the persons were dead because they got ill. But all along, when they were presenting as people who were well and hardy and able, they were transmitting this virus, which was relatively quick acting. So all of these are things to think about. 4341790, you can call, you can email me, peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. Good morning and welcome to the first caller.
Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing? This is Glenn. How is it?
Well, good, good.
I think you were alive around the time of the Spanish flu, if I remember correctly.
I was born just like
you were a teenager.
Well, I'm glad you've gone into history to give context to these things. And I think from my readings, they lost 50 million people.
Yeah, it was about that.
50 million. That's horrendous figures. You know, so that is not small change at all. So that tells you what can happen in these things, and you can't afford to treat them lightly at all, either as a country or as individuals. And I'm glad to see that you're taking care of yourself. And, I think I have adopted the philosophy. I consider myself as a potential carrier, and anybody else as a potential carrier. Mm-hmm. So that way, I stay away from you, you stay away from me. But before we get into I want to really talk about
the philosophical position that you're taking. I think is an important one for you to repeat, because I've always said this regarding the whole HIV/AIDS thing, which is a slightly different kind of illness. If you approach everyone as though they were HIV positive, then it means that you don't really have to worry about making foolish mistakes. And I think that's the point you're making, and I agree with you entirely.
And it's very simple, very basic. But before I say a bit more on the coronavirus, I got some calls on a couple of issues. The more mundane issues, but still nevertheless important. I got some calls from members of BARP who were saying, given that BARP was on the program last week, who were saying that they were having difficulty getting their health premiums paid on SurePay yesterday, every SurePay. There seems to have been an issue with the SurePay, getting on the SurePay system. And they were being told that their names weren't in the system, even though they had paid last month or they were up to date. So maybe that is something that BARPs can look into. And the other thing is they got some community calls were from sale of bottled gas. There are allegations that there's a vendor of bottled gas from a private residence, which is allowed, I understand, under certain conditions laid out by the Barbados Fire Service.
Sorry, repeat that. You said that she has a bottled gas?
No, there are persons. There's a bottled gas vendor in the Nelson Street area, I understand, who is selling bottled gas. And it is legal to sell bottled gas once it's approved by the fire service, et cetera, and certain conditions are put in place.
Okay.
But the story is that this person is charging $5 for it. Well, so you know, government controls the price of bottled gas and gasoline, et cetera, but it's your price. But when you buy a bottle of gas, they say that you'll pay an extra $5, which they're questioning.
So basically, she's an agent for bottled gas, and she's selling it $5 more than the gas station.
Yeah.
Right. But why you're paying the $5 for convenience?
For people, because they're not delivering. You're going to collect it, and they complain that especially in these tight times, they're now beginning to feel it.
But then, can they not go to the gas station within walking distance?
But you know, they say to walk with the gas stations up there, she'll bottle of gas, and has a little.
But that's what she's charging for. She's charging a convenience charge.
Yeah. So, but I'm not sure if that's legal.
But I don't know, but why would it be illegal? You mean because it's price control?
It's price control. The price is set. Mm-hmm. When you go to the gas service station, if I remember when I bought bottled gas, you know, I used to be charged for a company station.
What about a delivery charge?
But I feel it's something that needs to be started out, and because people are crying out about it.
All right. No, I understand both sides, because I'm saying I understand your side and the fact that it's unfair to ask somebody to pay $5 more for gas. But I also understand the option that the person is saying, I'm providing a convenience that brings it closer to you, and I should be paid a charge for that. Because the alternative is that you have to go further and walk with the bottle of gas, which ain't easy.
But if you take the argument for it, you say every location that provides the sales bottle of gas, you say I'm bringing it closer to you. So it is relative. Mm. But the point is that they're arguing that the person will be making their money out of the arrangement with the person that supplies them, and therefore it is unfair to do that to the public. I just feel it's something.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. All right. You made some points earlier in which you said that people just weren't in discussing the atmosphere in Barbados regarding coronavirus. You said that some people weren't seem to get it. Mm. And I think you made a fundamental point there. I listened to Brass Act yesterday, and there are a lot of issues that subliminal issues that to me came through. I think one of the things that is happening is that people are anxious, they're concerned, they're highly emotional, they're not being, I myself put a lot of stress yesterday that people should be rational and factual and logical. But when you are in a heightened state of anxiety, those factors don't come into play. And therefore, I think that it has to do, one reason why people are not, might not be getting it is the language being used in some of the factors connected with coronavirus and probably needs to be looked at. Because somebody, there's something, as you probably know, Peter, there's an area, especially in our crisis communication, where your language and your approach and your tone, your techniques are slightly different in everyday PR or marketing or promotion or whatever. And therefore, like for example, social distances. Some people tell me that, they call me to ask you what it meant. Social distances, I had to tell. I said, I keep far from people, keep away from people, keep your distance from people. So I've seen GIS doing some very interesting, very creative programs. They're breaking down these matters in vernacular terms and set up scenarios that extend well. And maybe they can look at something as social distancing, even asymptomatic. A lot of people don't know what asymptomatic means.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the medical people or people who are professional use throw these terms, assuming that people understand the jargon, or even the one with community transmission. So I think if some thought were to break it down into very simple, basic language that people can understand, I think it would probably help to motivate people and give them a better appreciation as to how to conduct themselves, how to separate themselves and keep themselves safe as possible.
No, that's all entirely reasonable. That's right. Not entirely reasonable.
But the other one I want to talk about most of all was this, the last thing I mentioned about the Trinidadian rejects. I'm shocked. Saying that the basic role of a country, of a government, is to protect, defend, safeguard its citizens.
But Glenn, if the border closed, it closed.
Yeah, but it's open to other things besides. Well, there's not regular commercial flight.
And that is the reason why this whole idea and argument that people have been talking about shutting down the borders, I was saying from the beginning, it was absolute nonsense. When people were saying before, the prime minister should have shut down the borders a long time, and said, letting these people come in here. When you close a border, it creates all kinds of implications. And what we're seeing now is essentially the problem that's being created.
But you don't think a government and a trade should make exceptions?
They should know better. Of course, they should know better. They shouldn't close the border, period.
They came from off a flight out of a cruise. They came together collectively. So they had not booked that after the closure was announced.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the trend. I am shocked.
It's unfortunate. It's disturbing, but you know, it speaks to a lack of logic. And the same argument that I've been using to explain to people. You know how many times people have told me over the last 2 weeks they think the government is being irresponsible and not shutting down the borders? And I'm saying that you can't just do that, because when you do that, you create all kinds of problems that may very well impact on your citizens, because people will be all over the place.
Yeah, and I mean. I mean, it's not these people were charged with treason, they were exiled, and
can't get away. It's regular citizens.
It is tough, and it makes me shudder to think that is, I have a carry on there, but like that. Because if they do that to Trinidadians, what would they do to Bajans?
Yeah. One friend of mine who I knew from UE messaged me and said that, you know, his grandmother's one of these people who is stuck in Barbados.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, all I was able to assure him is that, you know, they'll be taken care of. But I just think that it is shameful. But again, it points to the illogic of closing the borders. And as I said, the point is that from the beginning, the Prime Minister has been saying you can't just do that. But people have been saying that you should be able to do that. You know, all these ARC transfers, all these people who are here, the home port people and whatnot, that the argument was that we should have kept them out. And I'm saying, but you can't just do that. You know, you're dealing with human beings. This isn't in 1918.
But this whole thing of letting in and letting out and facilitating has a number of Barbadians disturbed too. Some people, for example, are still concerned about the ships offshore. They represent to them a constant reminder that there's probably death hovering around them.
Yeah, I would say that those ships offshore should say that after 2 weeks, we're going to have a large community of tourists in Barbados for a pretty long time. That's what it says to me. Because after 2 weeks, everybody in those ships is safe.
But no, I understand the ships offshore are only manned now by sk- skeleton crew.
Well, even so, a skeleton crew, we will have a skeleton community. But the fact of the matter, Glenn, is that in 2 weeks' time, there ain't gonna be anybody in Barbados to consume anything. And then all of these people who are self-employed are not working. A lot of them not going to be in a position to consume anything. So even if you have a skeleton crew from 12 ships coming onshore or having a coffee, is more than we can get otherwise.
But I understand they're not coming off. So I understand from personal involvement, I mean, that they have to go through a 30-day period before they are allowed to get back into European waters, European ports.
Right.
And they're using this downtime here to do that.
No, but they have the shore leave has been suspended.
Right.
My understanding is that the shore leave will be suspended as long as a quarantine is in place. What's the sense of having a shore leave that's suspended longer than the 2-week quarantine period? Because if after 2 weeks they don't manifest symptoms, then clearly they're safe and they can come on land. You don't think?
I'm not sure. I'm just trying to give you the background as to why. One of the reasons why they're still there is that they have to have a down period of 30 days before they're allowed to get back into European sport. Yeah,
fair enough.
All right. So, but I hope, you know, I think we just have to keep pressing on and trying to keep persuading people to, you know,
to do the right thing.
You know, there is emotion, but let your common sense, your education, the logic, the facts also prevail in your mind. But mm-hmm. this is a critical situation, and the emotions, everybody's not level heavy in this question. But the important thing is to say, like Little Rick, 70 said, I like myself, look after yourself, and like my friend, look after family. I think that basic philosophy would make a lot of difference to people.
Okay.
Take care.
All right, thanks a lot, Glenn. Good to hear you. We take a break and come right back. Okay, well, we have a full board. I'm seeing a full board ahead of me, so I'm hoping that somebody is there. Good morning, 434-1790. Talk to me.
Hi, good morning. It's Peter. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning. How are you doing? Good to hear you.
Yeah, good. Charles Alpha Moore here.
Yeah, Alpha. How things are going?
But good when we thought that we had the situation
under control.
We still having some unfortunate pushback from members of the public because we had to take one of our loaders to the FMH last night because people are still not disposing of their broken glass correctly. So in the Parishland area, one of our guys went to remove some garbage from a can. Piece of glass went through his glove, Peter. A serious cut, and he had to get stitches. He's now on sick leave. Mm-hmm. And we want to say to the members of the public, I mean, we have said it over and over, how to wrap
your glass.
Yes, wrap it in newspaper, place it in a plastic bag, place that bag then in the middle of your waist. Mm-hmm. You know, but people are still doing it. They feel like last week again, we found some human feces again and animal feces in our garbage. And so the fellas are very discouraged by this type of behavior. And we're just appealing to the public. Sometimes I wonder how they see the sanitation worker. I know years ago you used to call them scavengers. Mm-hmm. Now they're called loaders and drivers. But please understand that these persons are at the front line of sanitation. These men are up front cleaning the streets of Barbados for you. Give them some respect. Work with them. You see, I see sanitation not only as the driver and the loader. It's your job and my job too. Mm-hmm. Because the waste is generated in our homes. And we have to wrap it so that they can remove it in a decent way.
No, I am on board with you on that. I find it appalling that this is still a problem to these days, that we still have to remind people regarding disposing of glass, as though when the glass just sits there, the assumption is that it will just evaporate or something. When someone has to pick it up, clearly it will present a problem.
Yeah, but so right now, so that area in Parasai need to apologize to the people, but let them know that it's not our fault because we have to pull the entire crew. Mm-hmm. Our crew is made up of a driver and two loaders. Mm-hmm. You know, but this is happening. And then in West Terrace last evening, we had a vehicle blocking the road, and it's happening so often. A guy is doing construction on the building, and he's blocking the entire road. We asked him to move, and he said, "Wanna go away," and getting a whole attitude with this mm-hmm. thing. And you see a sanitation truck there, you know, he's off the road, let us maneuver through. Yeah. We want to help you, but you got to work hand in glove. And I mean, we have COVID dealing with, but we don't want a breakout of dengue and leptospirosis. We don't want that. We don't, you know.
So it's an important message that you're communicating, and people unfortunately don't get it. And I do hope that by continuing to press the point and to stress it, that you know we will get clarity. You need to dispose of your glass. You need to wrap it in a way that would not offend someone picking it up. I'm not sure why you would need to dispose of human feces in garbage. However, if you do need to dispose of diapers, if you need to dispose of animal feces, some people do that. You wrap it in paper, then you wrap it in plastic, and then you put it in the garbage. That is my understanding about the protocol and how it should work. But the idea is that someone who picks it up in a separate garbage bag should not come into contact with those items.
No, Peter, the human feces, the protocol, is all bodily fluids should be disposed of
in toilet.
Either in your toilet or, if you have to, and it's body fluid, you should be taking it straight to the incinerator at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. They dispose of all bodily fluids, needles.
Mm-hmm.
Needles, then, if you want a secondary option, you put them in a plastic bottle, you seal it, and you take it to a nearest polyclinic or to the same hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Not into the mainstream
waste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with your dogs and cat feces, dig a hole in your backyard as you in a safe area away from the water zone and just place it there. You know? But we're having this problem, and this is, it's sad, Peter.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think that as a people, we should know better. You know, the good thing, Ralph, with our population is I've always found that when you educate Barbadians on some things, they will usually follow. And I think that what you're doing now on calling the program, perhaps, you know, you could follow up with some public service announcements and things of that nature, which you do a lot of. It helps to communicate the message to people that this type of behavior is not acceptable. There are a number of people who feel that we need to get to a stage where the individuals collecting the garbage don't have to come into contact with it, period. And I know that happens in some countries where you have a mechanical loader, so it doesn't really matter what's in there because no one is going to touch it. We're not yet there. And until we get there, we have to be more sensible in terms of disposing of stuff. I mean, for my own self, I've started to do a bit of composting, and I try to ensure that nothing that is biodegradable doesn't get any garbage, period. And it has worked well for me. But then I have a bit more space than some people who may find that doing that is difficult because you do have to deal with things like odors. So, but you press on and continue to press the message and, public service announcements, you know, little video clips. You did a nice one the other day with Simon. I guess that was the point in time when you were both of the same political persuasion that you were able to. But actually, it wasn't Simon. It was Simon, and it was Ramon Cole. It's an effective PSA, and I like that strategy. I think that if you can do more of those things to communicate to people that there are things that they're doing which are not nice, and that one was really talking about the fact that people is wait for the thing and cuss him as though it's him that owned the truck, you know.
Yeah.
But that to me is a useful strategy, a useful communication strategy. But you're a communicator, so you know I don't need to preach to you.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, Alf. But thanks. Any special measures that you guys are instituting in the wake of this situation with COVID? Any particular measures that you have been forced to adopt or that you would want to talk about?
Yes, we have scaled down the operations at the head office where, in terms of visits, no more than two persons are allowed in to come and pay for the rental of a skip or to even to bring in terms of the funeral directors, in terms of bringing in the check to pay for the funeral.
Okay.
So what we're encouraging them to do, if you have a drop box, you can drop the check in, and mm-hmm. persons no more than two going upstairs. In terms of the full operation, all of our vehicles, we have the sanitizers in, we have soap and water, and we continue to brief the guys often about the protocols, and even in terms of the numbers on the yard, which is in the Wilde Depot, at any one time, we're trying to minimize, because sometimes the fellas, after they work their shift, they might linger around a bit.
They're
which
dominoes.
Is normal for camaraderie.
Yeah.
But now, we're saying to them, look, get home to your family, change your clothes quickly, do them type mm-hmm. of things. So we have actually put some measures at the funeral level. Well, you know, we are obeying the stage 2, so no big congregations at funerals, which, and that fight is being led by the funeral director. So we're doing our part to support the government initiative at COVID-19.
Great. All right, Alf, it's good to chat with you. You should call me more often, man.
No problem.
I appreciate the opportunity to interact with you on matters relating to sanitation especially. And I think that people appreciate hearing from you because the public, you know, you are one of the more important sectors in terms of the role that you play. So I think people enjoy your interaction. All right?
No problem, Peter. For sure.
Thanks a lot, Alf. Take care. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Peace be unto you, Mr. Wickham.
Morning. How are you doing?
I'm thankful for life, giving the Creator thanks for another day. Mm-hmm. To the gentleman who was at the control, the staff at BOB, and all the listeners, you are so right. Well, with sanitation, I respect those people. And what I do, the neighbors right up here, actually every one of our houses in these gaps have cans. And if there's any meat or anything, we put it, or anything that was soiled, we put it in the freezer. And when we hear the truck coming, we put it out. Mm-hmm. I had a dog, and when I had my dog, I have a little bit of land. In the front, there's a pasture, but some of the land is still mine. So I dug a hole, and I will pour it in, put bleach and the same gel fluid. Mm-hmm. And when it gets a certain way, I cover it down.
Okay.
And if there's anything broken in at me, I was told, and I work in the hotel industry, I work as a maid, so I would know. I wrap it up as much as I can, and I put it in a bag. I have markers, and I put
caution, broken glass. Right. Okay.
If it can't go inside the middle, if you say cut a can and the top come off, I drop it down in the inside, or if all in come off, I jerk it on the inside.
Okay.
You know, but I build my house out of cleaning toilets. They used to call me a cleaner, but I didn't mind.
I don't like the term, but I understand where you're coming from.
Right.
You worked as an attendant in a hotel.
Right. No, I work for the government too. And the public,
you work for government, okay.
Yeah, when it was Mr. Johnson.
Mm-hmm. But ain't only cleaning toilets.
And they used to call me the worst names, but when we dressed on the road, they used to say, yeah, that's the lady there, you know. And I am happy today because I'm comfortable in my home. So,
ma'am, everybody's job is important here. And I think that we have to learn. Precisely, you have to have respect. You have to have respect for every category of work.
Mr. Wickham, for me, them is the first. The first. There was this girl, she was doing a thesis, and she asked me about my country and who I would put first. And I told her, sanitation workers, and you know she got good marks because of that. And she asked me why. I tell them, if we don't have them, you know how much we be sick in this country.
Yeah.
So to me, I put them there first. Mm. But my thing, calling you.
How long you retired now?
I came out Melky outfit, but I leave the I was at transport board, so I work in other. I went to overseas for a better life, thinking the passions was free. I met six months boys playing combat. They in the place like Bimbo.
Yeah, it was green, but it was cold.
I tell you, Bim, I love you.
Yeah.
Me, I'm proud of my country. And why I'm so proud this morning, there are people who criticizing. I am for nor against nobody. Because if you do wrong, I'm going to say it wrong. And if you do right, I'm going to say you're right. I am picking sides and I'm not deceitful. Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Wickham,
yes,
I felt touched yesterday by the Prime Minister and the Attorney General, and all the doctors and everybody, the gentleman from St. Peter, the Minister from St. Peter, everybody that trying to do their part in this country with the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we got killings almost every day in this country. We would fight against each other, but Mr. Baker, am I telling you, Barbadians are wonderful, kind, and caring people, especially for strangers. I always hear when they ask a tourist, or even when I travel outside, and they say, I hear people come here 70 and 80 years, but why you keep coming back? Because of the people that are friendly people. Now, the ship's out there, and if the Prime Minister, I don't feel that she can try to endanger us. I guess they probably had to check the people on the ship before they bring them off to carry them to the airport, and she making sure that they don't stop on the road. You see the police out front and and everybody, the sirens clearing the road that they could get to the airport to go to the various homes. If it was us, what we wanted, and I heard the lady from the senator that working in the port said that we have people in other countries too that went on cruises that want to get back home. But the same way we want our people home, yeah, and we feeling hurt that our family could come home. These people too, mm-hmm, and there was a call on the other station this morning saying that the prime minister and the, I always agree with her with what she's saying, but you know she's saying that the prime minister ain't do nothing and the attorney general ain't do nothing, that it is CARICOM and we must let in the people call. We don't have the borders closed. And as you say, I guess you saying about closing the borders, you know, try to be careful, but give people a chance, because we still got a lot of people still outside that want to get home. Yeah. But Trinidad, now the prime minister say he can let children at the UWE and things studying down there to come back home to our country and the other countries, and he taking in his. So why he can take in his own too? Mm-hmm. You know, I heard the Attorney General say that if they had go back up to England, they want to know what happened. We are kind of caring people, and God is going to, well, you know, I know you say anything, but there's me. Your ways are not, my ways are not yours. He's going to protect us. Yeah. And I agree. I totally agree. Just be safe. But if there's anybody that she can help, or that we, this country, can help, we can help. We prosper. We will prosper. And I know that we are caring people. We might hit at each other at times and think, but Belgians are caring people. We are. We wasn't dragged up. We were brought up to be that way.
All right, ma'am. Thank you for calling. I do appreciate hearing from you. It's nice to receive a call, A, from a lady, B, from someone who is not calling to score political points, C, from a person who is a senior and can reflect on a different era of life in Barbados, and someone who obviously understands the importance of appreciating every category of worker. But one could say from top to bottom or from bottom to top, regardless of however you look at the role that they play, I think that they are important, and I do agree with you, ma'am, that they ought to be respected. You continue to enjoy your retirement. Thanks a lot for calling. We'll be right back with more of Down to Brass Tacks.